The Old Testament lesson for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message was the gospel lesson. So how is it with your soul? That's how John Wesley, an Anglican priest back in the 18th century, used to begin meetings, church meetings. How is it with your soul? Yes, he's the one that founded the Methodist Church. And he had an emphasis on holiness of life and heart. Weekly, people gather to pray and worship, and they discuss the spiritual condition of their hearts, always starting with the same question: how is it with your hearts? Kind of a personal and rather deep question, but it cut to the chase and set the tone for the meetings. Tonight we begin Lent, and the same question confronts us: how is it with your soul? Lent's 40 days minus Sundays, which I've never understood. Why do we exclude Sundays from counting Lent? Nobody's got an answer to that. I asked that question in seminary, and nobody had an answer for me there either. They threw up their hands like Lutherans and said, I don't know. But Lent's a time of intense self-reflection and introspection. It sort of reminds us of Jesus' temptation, the trial that he faced. Where are our hearts? The Bible uses the term heart nearly 1,000 times, but it had a different meaning than what we generally have for heart, whether a romantic love or we think of hearts on Valentine's Day. Heart in the Bible had the idea of your perception, your intellect, your emotion, your spiritual well-being, your thoughts, your feelings, your will. Jesus says, where your treasures are, there is where your heart is also. There's many things that we treasure. We first of all think of the material things, all the stuff that we have. We try to have the stuff make us happy or fulfilled, but Jesus warns us against earthly treasures. You can also have values which are earthly treasures, such as success, security, happiness, or even life itself. Lent asks us which one of our treasures get in our way of our relationship with God. During Lent, many people deny themselves something like chocolate. I got an acquaintance of mine who says she's giving up Facebook for Lent. That's actually probably a good thing to give up permanently, but that's up to her. But Lent is more than just giving up something. Lent releases us from the treasures of this world. Perhaps we should be adding a spiritual practice. The three traditional spiritual practices of Lent is service, prayer, and fasting. But if we're not careful, even with those three, we can make those into false treasures. Jesus gives us that warning in the Sermon on the Mount. The people were showing off by what they did. See how great I am, was their thinking. And Jesus says they're missing the point. In our gospel lesson, he repeats three different times, and they will receive their reward. There's a Sunday school teacher who asked her class what the difference was between kindness and loving kindness. And a little girl says, kindness is when mom makes toast for me for breakfast. Loving kindness is when she puts in the extra work and adds butter and orange marmalade. I kind of like that definition of loving kindness. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, we read, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. The word kind means to be constructive. Last Sunday, I talked about what love is. Love is a verb. It's not necessarily a feeling. But love is also a constructive type of word. It builds up others with kind words or actions. But again, we get so distracted by the treasures that we forget to be kind and serve. Sometimes we even forget who we are. We forget that we're strangers here, that heaven is our home. Jesus said, lay up treasures for yourself where moth rusts and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus doesn't want our treasures. He wants our hearts. He's teaching us in the gospel lesson to fix our eyes on heaven. Billy Graham was once asked, what is heaven going to be like? And he answered, just as there is a mystery to hell, so there is a mystery to heaven. Yet I believe the Bible teaches that both are literal places. I'm not worried about where they are, because I know where Jesus is, and he told me to meet him there. Do you know what the most popular genre of books, whether you find it in a Christian bookstore or in a regular bookstore, is how-to books. In Christian bookstores, they have a lot of books, how to build your faith, how to be a Christian, how to be a Christian parent. And I'm sure they've got nuggets of truth in there, and they have some value. I'm not knocking them per se, but they make Jesus almost into some sort of a sales pitch. Like you can sell Jesus if you have these good words of advice. They strive to make us better, but they don't focus us on what Jesus has done or focus us on heaven. It's hard to really understand how glorious heaven will be. 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul writes about this. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Sometimes our desires are to be seen by others, to be heard by others, to be praised by others, and then we lose the fellowship with God. Lent humbles us out of these ways. It gets us back into the right place. We surround ourselves with treasures, but they cut us off from God. Lent says, notice your sinfulness. It's a painful reflection when we look in a mirror and see what we truly are as sinners. Ash Wednesday, we break down those walls and we see what a mess we've left behind. The dust of that mess is the ashes that we put on our forehead. And they're marked with the sign of the cross. I know it looks like I'm putting just my thumbprint or fingerprint on your forehead, but it's supposed to be in the sign of the cross as a reminder who we belong to. Now, hopefully, since all of you have grandkids, you've seen the movie Toy Story. There's a great scene in there where Buzz Lightyear says to Woody, the cowboy, because Woody's all upset, and Buzz says to him, look at the bottom of your foot, and whose name is there? And the name on the bottom of his boot was Andy, and he says, that's because you belong to him. We have the sign of the cross on our foreheads to remind us who we belong to. The psalmist wrote, create in me a clean heart, O God. It's expressing a desire to get our heart in the right place. The 40 days of Lent that we have. We trust in God alone to put a new and right spirit within me. Let the treasures that we have in this world and our hearts be in the Lord. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.